Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is Cross Over to the Other Side Again.
You know, one of the things about First Light for those of you who have not started with us, but for the past 9 years or so, one of the foundations that we believe in strongly is to really sing the best among us, to do the works of God. You know, right in the beginning, those of us may remember how we have released Kevin and Sonia, Iris and Dan, Virginia, Michael Morian, Adeline and Matt, and then recently Grace and Kui. And this is the spirit of First Light. So for us, we may be sad because Rina will not be continue with us running this youth ministry, but we should be rejoicing and be glad that she's serving the greater body of Christ. Because this is part of our heritage. Right? So those of you who are sitting here, the day may come. The Lord may ask you and call you to serve the wider body of Christ. And I think that is the spirit of First Light, is that we never have been selfish, keeping the best to ourselves. In fact, First Light is known in this city, and we are known among many Christian organizations to be known for releasing the best of the best into the service of God. I think that is a heritage we have, and this is a heritage we continue. And we believe that as those days, you know, those of you can remember how it was hard for us. But we thank God that when we released people, other people came up, came forward, and came to serve the body of Christ. And not about people serving the mission field. I mean, I thank God in our midst we have people like Philip Wong who shares, who is the chairperson of the Full Gospel business. And he is actually ministering to the wider body of Christ. And those of you who may not know John, where is John? He's here this morning. Our quiet Chinaman. But he was ministering for 2 weeks in Indonesia to a number of churches. He was preaching every day. Right, even for people like Joanne, my dear wife, who is serving to simply mobilizing, you know, educating Western Australia in terms to churches, believers in terms of mission or kairos, and many of us are blessed. And the days to come, I believe that not only God is calling us into the mission field to serve as missionary, but God is also calling us to serve the wider body of Jesus Christ. You know, people like Doug and Sarah is one of those precious people that we have in our midst who sense God is calling them to the business world, but not just to be business people, but to shine for Jesus Christ there. And this is a spirit, right? And that we need to have. And that's why from last year when we launched our mission statement, a new mission statement, we talk about how God is calling us to be disciples of Jesus Christ and how we are called to multiply and how are we called to make disciples. And remember, we so-called closed end of last year with Empower to Influence. And that's what we are about, that God has placed us in different places in which He's empowered us to influence. Last week, I talked about this is a call that we have, is crossing over to the other side. Everyone say together, crossing over to the other side. Right. So remember the story how Jesus told his disciple about they need to cross the lake to go to the other side. And at first, as they tried to cross, there was a storm that resisted them from crossing. And the disciple was fearful. They thought they're going to die. And Jesus was sleeping in the stern. And so one of them shouted to Jesus, "Master, don't you care that we are about to die?" And then Jesus stood up and said to the wind and to the wave, "Be still." And there was peace. Next, they landed near the cemetery and they saw this demoniac or this demon-possessed person who was what? Possessed by about 5,000 spirit called Legion. But instead of being fearful, the disciples now were strengthen. And instead of the demoniac trying to resist Jesus, you can see the demons themselves were fearful. "Master, why are you here? Are you here to deal with us?" But not yet the time. And we know that how he sent all the demons into the pigs, eh? And then what happened? They were thrown out of that area. So the mission trip didn't last long. Right? Within a few hours, they got in, they got out. And we say, what a waste of time. They didn't achieve anything. But we know that after chapter 5, we have chapter 6. Right? And chapter 6 says that Jesus went back to the same place again. But this time, the demonic guy who has been delivered, when instead of going home to his own loved ones, he went to preach, so-called, how he was delivered. He gave his testimonies to 10 cities, the Decapolis. And when Jesus landed, not just a couple of people, but the whole entire region came. And then Jesus began to do his ministry and all touched his garment. They all were healed. So we can see a picture here. What's the picture? This is the picture. When we do the word of God, we may face strong resistance. But if we travail, the resistance against what we try to do will get weakened. And we keep on pressing on, there's no more resistance. Some people need to hear this message this morning. That in the past, you tried to do something, there was resistance. But perhaps this is a season you are moving from strong resistance to weak resistance to no resistance. Some of you have been saying, I tried to reach out to this loved one. I tried to pray for someone in my family who is beyond redemption, like this legion. But again, God is going to do something in your family. God is going to do something in your midst that when once there was strong resistance, there is no more resistance. Okay, 12 years ago, I met this guy who strongly resisted my ministry to go back to Singapore. In fact, he got a lot of people to go against me. And there was a blockade that I couldn't go back to minister among my Methodist friends. It was tough. And this was a man I look up to, but this is a guy who mobilized a lot of people to work against me, act against me. Painful lesson. But over the years, it's interesting. Before this man attacked me, the Lord called me to pray for him for 1 year. So when I was praying for him for 1 year, every day without fail, right? And the day he came to attack me, to destroy my reputation, to pull down my ministry, the truth is I wasn't even angry or sad. And I was wondering to myself, I mean, did someone ever gossip about you or spread lies about you, even say things about you which is maybe even be true, you get angry, right? Right. So those of us who works in the office long enough, someone don't like you, say something about you, it can affect you the whole week, it can affect the way you work with the person. And I was asking the Lord, say, how come instead of being angry trying to be justifying myself, how come I felt nothing? Now, I'm not nerve dead, by the way. And the Lord revealed to me, remember I told you to pray this for this person for 1 year? That 1 year was for you to sow into his life. And when you sow into people's life, God says, was saying to me, I can protect whatever situation you're going through. He said, because you prayed with the point you love this man, no matter what this man does to you, it cannot hurt you because you have come into a place of rest. So over the years, for 12 years, no contact. Last December, it was my birthday. Out of the blue, he sent me to Messenger, right? Facebook Messenger. He said, Richard, I'm praying for you that God will bless you, God will prosper you, God will, a change of heart. You know, you can have been hurt by someone so badly, and when the person start to reach out to you, you get frightened, right? Isn't it? Oh, only me. So for 12 years, I have no animosity and no hatred, but I say that, this is one person, I should keep my distance. But 12 years later, he started to bless me. Now, when your enemy bless you, it's scriptural. Right? It's scriptural when your enemy bless you. Right? So I sent out a text. I can't, y'all do that also, right? I say, I'm going back to Singapore next month. Would you like to have coffee with me? Right, of course, I put in Singlish, want to lim kopi? Immediately, he sent to me, I will not have coffee with you. but I have lunch with you. Wow. Come to my country club. Wow. I'm going, man. Hey, you don't get invited to country club all every day in your life, right? So even if he still hates me, at least I get a free good meal in the country club. Come on, put your priorities right. Now, so there I was. I met him. He hugged me and we sat down. And he said, Richard, thank you for wanting to meet up with me. I said, oh, it's okay, you know. I haven't been to this country club before, you know, kind of thing. Small talks. After that, the food came. He said, grace. He said, Lord, I think his prayer says everything. The Lord, I thank you for my brother. That I can see him after all these years. And I thank you that he gave him the grace that he wants to meet up with me. You know, there are life, seasons of life. And we talk for the next 2 hours as if we just met each other yesterday kind of thing. Long-time friends. You know, and I felt it was a good closure. It's a good closure. And so sometimes in our journey of life, people, when we follow the direction of God, when we are, know the Lord lead us, expect this. Strong resistance. But if we do not faint, if we do not give up, but trust we hear God, he will lead us, you know, to a place where there's no more resistance. It's scriptural. Paul, remember how he was having a lot of positions preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Went through persecution. But if you read the last chapter of Acts chapter 28, the last line say, no one forbade him or no one forbidding him from preaching the word of God. Amen? So Paul's life journey, Paul is an example of a believer. When we follow the direction of God in our life, there's resistance. Right, so we may look at Grace and Queen and say, what a waste of time. Nothing was achieved. Are you sure? We don't know. But if we trust they obey God, this could be the season that they encounter strong resistance, but there come a season there's no more resistance. Because why? Because years ago, when I haven't came to Perth yet, I met a pastor from Nepal. And he was my roommate. We were in together for a leadership conference. And he wake up early in the morning to pray, you know. He'll pray and pray in his own language. Then I start talking to him, you know. He said, what's your name? He said, my name is Dale. I said, oh, what interesting name, man. So we talk about vision because it was a leadership conference. We talk about vision. Say, what is your vision? Say, I show you my vision. I like this guy. He opened up to so-called the front page of his Bible, mine is black, but he's all white, was the map of Nepal. See, I've been praying for 20 years that Nepal would be a Christian nation. At that time, it was a Hindu nation. It was the only Hindu nation in the world. At that time, the gospel was not, I mean, there was strong resistance to the preaching of the gospel. See, I'm praying now, like, for whole Nepal to know Jesus Christ. I said, yeah, I'm like all you, yeah, very good, Then he looked at me and said, I don't want you to hear my vision. I want you to pray together with me in this vision. And he dragged me down and kneel with him and pray with him, you know. So I said, Lord, open up Nepal for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Simple prayer, the kind, you know. But sometimes you pray just to get overdone with kind of thing. Okay, and I know you're not like me, but sometimes we pray to get over and done with kind of thing. But this man pray and travail and cry and say, Richard, you must come one day and preach in Nepal. You must come and see God is going to do marvelous work. And every week, without fail, he will send me an email. Pray for Nepal. Pray for Nepal. No, then God is doing great, marvelous thing. Come to Nepal. He say, wow, God answer your prayer. Then he say, what else can God do? You know, you meet people like that. You know, they tell you a truth, but they also rebuke you at the same time. Oh yeah. And from that day on, there was strong resistance. But what Nepal is going through is a season of weak resistance. And it will come to a time of no resistance. Not just Nepal, but even for India right now, or any country. There are about 100 nations all over the world that's against Christianity. But if we do not fail, if we trust God and move in that direction, God will lead us. And one thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you notice, Jesus do not teach us the same lesson one time. He teach us the same lessons many times. Right, so don't ever think that I come, I hear a message, I got it, and that's it. No, some of this message or some of this revelation, you need to hear it again and again and again. And this is what Jesus did with his disciple. The story opened for us, before I get to my text this morning, was Jesus was ministering with his disciple for quite a long time. And he knew his disciple were very tired. So once again, he told his disciple, let us go on to the other side. Right? And then what happened was this. The multitude chased after them, and Jesus and his disciple, though they were tired, continued to minister to them. And finally, he realized that these people were hungry, and Jesus asked, no, we need to give them some food. Right? We know that story. And then the boy came with 5 loaves and 2 fish, multiplied whatever was given, like 5,000 men. And now, they didn't include their wives or their children. Like 5,000 men were fed. And there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. And I always believe that Jesus gave each to one of them. Every one of them had fish and chips. Right, fish and bread. And so they all have enough food. And then Jesus said, okay, now people, now you need to go to the other side. Now we need to rest. So last week's sermon was what? Crossing over to the other side. This week's sermon title is Crossing Over to the Other Side Again. See, the Lord, when he gives us revelation, he wants to see fruit that comes out from that revelation. It's not just to please our mind or just to, okay, it's a good concept. But he wants us to grow in that revelation. So Jesus said, now guys, time for you to cross over to the other side again. And what happened was this. From Matthew chapter 14, 22, it begins for us. Immediately means Jesus start giving order. Jesus make his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he send the multitudes away. So Jesus was telling the multitudes, you have to go back now. You're well fed, right? Go home. Now you guys, you have 12 baskets. Now put them in the boat. Get going. So there is a momentum that's happening. And what happened was this. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone there. So Jesus sent his disciples to cross the lake again, and he went up to the mountain to pray. And those of us who went to Israel before, remember, we went out to Mount Abel. We can see the whole entire lake of Galilee. And he was praying. And now when evening came, I always like this. Evening is when things are not too bright and not too dark. Things are quite unclear sometimes. And sometimes when God leads us, I can tell you, we only know it's clear when we look back. But when we are going forward, we are not clear. But we know He's leading us. But evening came. What happened was, he saw the disciple, right, in the boat. And they were in the middle of the sea. And then what happened? Tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So the disciple have got into the middle of the lake. They are too far to go back. They are too far from going forward. They are stuck in the middle. And they are like fighting against the wind. But this time you realize the disciple is no longer fearful of dying. They were fighting against the wind and the waves. And Mark chapter 6, same account gave us a bigger insight, better insight. Then he saw them straining at rowing. So the wind was blowing this direction. They were straining and rolling towards the destination Jesus called them. And they've been doing it for the past 9 hours. So for 9 hours, the disciple, when they left Jesus in the evening, they have been straining, rolling towards the direction. And then it was about the fourth watch. The Roman Empire divide time by quarters. So first watch, second watch, third watch, and so-called the fourth watch. The fourth watch is between 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. They're coming to the end of night, but the beginning of a new day. So things are still dark, but you can see gleams in the distance of sunlight coming forth. What they call it first, what they call it as fourth watch, is what we call here as first light. Think about it. Those who have ears, let them hear. For 9 hours, they've been struggling to get to the other side. For 9 months, Compassion Up in India is trying to get to the other side. This thing has been going on since last year. It's been 9 months. They're entering to their 10 months already. So for 9 hours, they know that was their destination. They know that is when Jesus had assigned them to rest. But are they resting? They were not resting. They were struggling. And here we saw Jesus seeing them from the mountain. And here we see a picture of the incarnation. God sees us. God doesn't watch us from a distance, as suggested by the song. But God saw us, and he came to us and walked towards us. Amen. So here we see Jesus seeing his disciples struggling. Jesus knows he's not the one who sent the storm. But he knows they are going through the storm again. But this time the disciple passed in terms of no more fear. But then they're going to fail in no more strength. 9 hours they are struggling. 9 hours they are struggling. And here was the Lord coming to them. Storms are not sent to destroy us. Storms are given to develop us. Sometimes we think in storms in our life, storms is not when you face your enemy. Storm is where you meet your God. Think about it. Because when you go through crisis or challenge in your life, it reveals so-called the true quality of your heart. But it also reveals the true nature of your Father. It's easy to declare a fast after you go for a buffet lunch. Right? Once you have a big buffet, you say, "Oh, I will be fasting for the next 40 days. Anyway, this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So beginning of 40 days of Lent, fasting 40 days towards Easter. It's easy to declare when you are at that spiritual prime or you have the strength. But when the challenge comes in your life, the true quality of your spiritual life is then revealed. Last week I talked about what it means to be spiritual. To be spiritual is not about praying long prayers or know the scripture in and out, but to be spiritual is to know the perfect love of the Father that casts out all fears. So if we are spiritual, we are fearless and bold. And that's why when the disciples, when they were persecuted in the early in Acts, right? The early church, they pray for what? Boldness. They pray for strength. So to be spiritual is not so-called, I know all these things in and out. Although it's good to know scripture in and out, it's good to pray. And I think all these are wonderful, but we need to go back to the definition of what it means to be spiritual is when you and I know the perfect love of the Father. Because he is a spirit of love. What happened was this. They were struggling, and here was Jesus who came, walking towards them. And a lot of people always got this text wrong when he says here, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. It's as if here you are. Right? Here is Anton struggling in the boat. And here is, not Jesus, okay lah. He saw Anton struggling, he would just walk by. I don't care. Like he is meandering by, he don't care. But you cannot read scripture that way. You must understand. In the gospel, there's always a picture. In the gospel, there's always an understanding to the back. The first miracle we see is Jesus walking on the water. Now, when you see someone walking on water, You can conclude whether it's Jesus or David Copperfield. The magician, just in case you don't know. Right? But do you know Jesus was coming to reveal who he is to his disciples? They know Jesus was a great teacher. They knew Jesus was a great prophet. They know Jesus is a great caterer. But now who is Jesus? The only time when you see God walking on water is Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. The Spirit of God hovering over the deeps, over the waters. You check your Hebrew translation for the word hovering means relaxing. So in Genesis, when God saw the deep, the darkness, he was actually relaxing, hovering, walking on the water. And here's Jesus walking. And the word walking in Greek here is not saying he's struggling against the storm or the wind. He's actually strolling. He's walking without any resistance. So here is Jesus relaxing over the waters. The first time when they were caught in a storm, Jesus was sleeping. The second time now, Jesus is not in the boat with them, but he's walking past the boat. He was actually relaxing. As I said last week, if Jesus was the most calm man in the room, I want to be the second calmest man in the room. If Jesus is the most relaxed man in the room, I want to be the second most relaxed person in the room. But Jesus was not walking past them as if he doesn't care, because the Greek word called parakomai, if it's a reference to human, is always about, yeah, we walk past each other. Now sometimes, you know, I go to the Westfield, I see church member, they saw me, they quickly walk past me. All right? It's okay. I know who you are. Now, the thing is this. But when you use parakomai in reference to the divine, to God, it is like Exodus 33, where God told Moses, I will pass you by. Means, why did God tell Moses that? Because Moses said, show me your face, right? Show me your glory, show me your glory. And God said, you cannot see my glory because you see, you will die, because it's old covenant. But I let you see my back. So you hide yourself in a cleft, you hide yourself in the rock. And that cleft in the rock is actually Jesus Christ. And God walked past by him. So he saw God's glory. And this is the same word used now. When Jesus walked past, they saw the image of, here is God. Here is Jesus like God, hovering, relaxing over the water. And here is Jesus like God. When he revealed to Moses, he revealed his glory. So it's not like God, or through Jesus Christ, was like passing by the boat as if he doesn't care. But it was an epiphany. It was an appearance. It was a revelation of who he is to them. And sometimes in your storms, in your struggle, don't think God walked past you. But in your storm, where prayers are not answered, where you're not certain what lies ahead, there is again a revelation of who God is. Amen. You see, there are times God has to calm the storm around us. So to steal our heart. But there are times God will steal our heart in spite of the raging storm. Think about it. Don't think that peace can only come if there's no more trouble. Peace can only come if there's no more struggle. Peace can only come if there's no more challenges. No. In the midst of struggle, challenges, disappointment, peace can still be there because God can come and steal our heart while the storm around us is still raging. 2017 is what? The year of complete what? Victory. To have victory, you must have battles. You have to wage war against the enemy. But we know that we have the victory because of Jesus Christ. No weapon raised against you will prosper. Doesn't mean the devil cannot devise. The devil knows we are called by God. And he will always be devising ways to challenge us, to tear us down, to destroy us. But yet, if we walk as the anointed of God, we will come out strong. So for 9 hours, they were struggling to get on the other side. But at first light, the breakthrough came. How does this breakthrough appear itself? Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Why did Jesus walk on the sea? It's to tell us he is always above our storm. He can walk above our storm. He is relaxing. But we are struggling. And sometimes when you are struggling, you don't see it right. You don't think it right. And when they saw Jesus, they saw him walking on the sea. What happened? They were troubled, saying, you know, it's a ghost. You can tell that day they weren't singing, I ain't afraid of no ghost. They cry out in fear because Bible scholars are divided about why are they fearful. Do the disciples believe in ghosts? Put it this way. You can be a Christian, but you still can be superstitious. Eh? Eh? Certain day you must wear certain color. Certain days you can eat certain kind of food. No? Certain occasion you cannot meet with certain people. Sometimes as Christian you can be superstitious until there is a renewing of the mind. Because among the fishermen, they believe when they see a ghost, this ghost represents those who had died or those who had drowned. And all this ghost is coming to take them with them. To where these ghosts are heading. So when they saw Jesus, they thought it was a ghost. Sometimes when you are struggling, I tell you, your theology is all wrong. Sometimes you think God don't care, God don't love me, or where is God, and your mind is not fixed on who Jesus is. And that's why Jesus had to walk to demonstrate he is like the God of all. Jesus had to manifest himself, walk past them, to show his glory to them. But yet, they still got it wrong. And that many of us sometimes, in our midst of our life situation, we get it wrong with God. But then you realize there is no rebuke. I like verse 27. Immediately. Wow. So when you are fearful, we don't have a God who despises us because of our fear. But a God who comes alongside because he knows we are fearful. He said, be of good cheer. And the word cheer is the word courage. Be strong. Be courageous. It is I. And it's the third time. Because the word it is I is the same word where Moses asked the burning bush, which was an epiphany of God, who shall I say sent me? And then God spoke and said, I am. Send you. So it is I is the same word as I am. So they are now, they not only saw God hovering on the waters, God manifesting himself to them, but now they hear God speaking to them, say, it is I. Or I am. That blows their wrong concepts, wrong theology apart. And then he say, do not be afraid. In Greek, do not be afraid means stop doing it right now. Immediately. It's not a progressive, today frighten a bit, tomorrow frighten less. When God says, do not be afraid, means right now, stop being afraid. But be of good courage. You can't be courageous and yet at the same time be frightened. That will make you very conflicted. But rather, when he says, do not be afraid, wow, means stop right now. I think as parents, we know, right? We are kids, stop it. Right? So when you tell our kids, stop it, whatever they are doing, which is not right for them or not good for them, you don't say, stop it lah. Stop it. You know, just the other day, someone sent me a YouTube about American parents and Asian parents, how they raise kids. So when American parents, any American, don't be offended, blame the YouTube. The son jumped on the table. The dad say, son, don't go to the table. Right? If you fall down, you may break your legs. So he said that Americans like to teach their children, even when they do wrong, there's a lesson to be learned. Asian is different. When the boy look at the table, the father, The son just touched the tip of the table. And the son never make it on top of the table. Those who have ears, let them hear. Now, the thing is this. When Jesus says, be of good cheer, do not be afraid, mean stop it. Do what is right before me. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Take courage. I know you are fearful, but stop fearing. Stop fearing. I like Peter. Peter represents many of us. Right? So bobbling, he say, Lord, if it is you, command me. He want to check whether there's a ghost. He want to check whether it's a vision or the real thing is happening right now. Command me to come to you on the water. Now, the word if it is you is a challenge to the identity of who Jesus is. And in the Gospel of Matthew, this challenge happened 5 times. The first time was from Satan in the desert. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Another time was when Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin, the chief priest said, if you are the Son of God. When he was hung on the cross, the two robbers, one of them asked, if you are the Son of God, you can save yourself and save us. And the last one was when he was hung on the cross still, the chief priest, the scribe all say, if you are the King of Israel, come down now. If you can do it, we will worship you. So on this 5 occasions, the 4 occasions where they questioned the identity of Jesus, it was from a spirit of defiance. It was a spirit of unbelief. It was a spirit of mockery. But the only time asked was by Peter was, Lord, if you are really who you say you are, get me to do something. The rest was testing God. If you are God, you do this. Then I'll believe. But here was Peter saying, this is one of Peter's brightest moments. Right? He's a clueless guy, but there are times he's so bright. Because he is at first light now. He said, Lord, if it is you, get me to do something. You tell me to come to the water. Command me. And Jesus will say, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He heard. He walked towards Jesus. And what happened? And when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sing and cry out, Lord, save me. This is the best prayer in life. When you're desperate, don't pray long prayers. Don't tell God, Lord, I'm now stuck in the traffic. Lord, now I'm stuck in the shower. Lord, I'm stuck somewhere and my address is... No. Just say, Lord, save me. Sometimes we tell God too many information. Like, God, what? Come again? I missed that point. What road again? What time? God will hear you. But I like this point. Most of us didn't notice this. We all laugh at Peter. Oh, Peter have no faith. In the first place, Peter was not running on his faith. He was running on Jesus' word. The word of Jesus gives us faith. But when Peter began to take his eye off and began to see the wind, he began to sing. But you realize he didn't sing boom. He sang very slowly. You didn't notice that, eh? If anyone asked them to a swimming pool, we will go down immediately. Not us. Not like cartoon, right? Land out of the water, then go now. No. This is a picture that even when you are losing your faith, you're not going to die immediately. Even when you think you have no more faith left, there's still that one more part. And say, Lord, save me. And he will come. Sometimes we think because we have fallen, because we have sinned in our life, because we have done it wrong, we say it wrong, we make mess up our life plan, we've gone the wrong direction, all this and that. things will go wrong. But sometimes, can I tell you people, when you hear God, things will go wrong? But then because we look our eyes everywhere else except looking at Jesus Christ. And so sometimes we can lose our faith. But do you know that even when we lose our faith, we don't lose it just like that overnight? We can slowly, our faith can be eroded away. But if we know our faith is ebbing, we are losing so-called that strength. We still can call out to the Lord and He will hear us. I love this revelation of Jesus Christ. He doesn't mock us. And when we know it is He calling us, we step up. Sometimes it's frightening. We're not sure, but we just go. And God doesn't mind how many times we stumble, as long as we stumble towards Him all the time. Isn't it? Just like as parents, when our children learn how to walk, they stumble. But give us a lot of joy because they are stumbling towards us. Now, we don't rebuke them. You hopeless boy, hopeless child, don't walk anymore. Don't walk until you can walk. Then come and see me in the office. No, you don't do that. Right, sometimes our kids learn how to walk. They want to fall, we reach out. Right, although they didn't say, Papa, save me. You immediately, you just, you do it. And immediately, Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Jesus didn't tell Peter you sang was because you had no faith. Peter, you sang because you doubted. So many times we got this text wrong, thinking, oh, Peter sang because he had no faith. But Peter, let me put it this way. Along the way, he understood something. The last time we was in the boat with Jesus, the storm came. But when he rebuilt, everything was calm. We've been struggling for 9 hours. We are going nowhere. Now Jesus come. He's telling the rest of the 11, I'm leaving you guys losers. I'm leaving all of you. I'm going to Jesus where Jesus is. But do you know something? Peter's assignment was not going to Jesus. Peter's assignment was to go to the other side. But Peter thought, if I leave this bunch of losers, because we're going nowhere, as long as I'm with Jesus, everything will be okay. And this boat can represent different things for different people. It can mean a marriage. I'm sick of this marriage. I want to get out. I'm sick of this situation. I want to get out. I'm sick of my studies. I want to get out. I'm sick of this relationship. I want to get out. I'm going nowhere. I'm going nowhere. I want to go where Jesus is. I know many people in my life, as not just as a pastor, but as a believer, who left their family, who left their job, who left things of responsibility so they can go for revival meetings. Now, I'm not against revival meetings, but you know, they spend all their life in revival meetings, but neglect what's happening in the house. They thought, if long I have Jesus, things will be okay. But then Jesus say, you are little faith. The word little is not by quantity, but by quality. The word little here is, your faith is so short. Your faith lasted you only 2 steps. But I want your faith to be strong enough, it lasts you from here till you get to the other side. You may think getting out of the boat is the best place to be. But Jesus say, the supernatural happens. It can happen. But we're not supposed to dwell in a supernatural all the time. Because I make you natural. You need to have that natural bearing as well. Don't be so heavily minded that this earth is no use to you. You are still part of this world. You get what I'm saying? But here was Peter thinking that, Lord, if I'm with you, everything will be okay. But Jesus was telling him, you are trying to get out of your boat where all the time I'm trying to get into your boat. You are trying to get out of your marriage, but I'm trying to get into your marriage. You try to get out of your family, I'm trying to get into your family. You're trying to get out of your responsibility, I'm trying to get into your responsibility with you. What is better than going to Jesus? Is Jesus coming with you? And this is what happened. Right? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then, after they saw the manifestation of Jesus Christ at all these different junctures, they finally worshiped Him. Truly, You are the Son of God. Storms doesn't just reveal our vulnerability, our fear, but storm reveal the strength of our God. Sometimes we ask God, Lord, let this problem solve, let this problem cease, let this thing end. Get me out of this situation. I don't like it. I'll be a bunch of losers. I'm not happy where I am. I believe God can lead us. But many times in our prayer, how have we invited the Lord to join us in that journey? Lord, surely You know I'm struggling. Surely You know I'm sinking, but thank God slowly. But where are You in this whole thing? Surely You have something to tell me. You know, some time ago I met this Vietnamese pastor. He was the first in the family to become a Christian when he was a young man, just newly married, came to know Lord Jesus Christ. His father was a famous so-called sorcerer or witch doctor in that region. And so when the father heard the son and the new daughter-in-law became believer, he cursed them. He not only cursed them, he took 70 of all his witch doctor friends together and they hold a ceremony. They cursed that this man and his wife would not have children. That they had no descendants. In that context, in that cultural context, no having children is a very terrible situation. And because of persecution, this man and his wife became refugee, fled to America, began a Christian ministry. And they have four kids. And so, 20 years, because there was strong resistance, but 20 years later, he tested the water and the father said, you can come back and visit us. And when he came in, with the four grandchildren standing in front of their grandfather for the first time after 20 years, the father said, your God is a very powerful God. How do I become a Christian? And when he left that village, three churches were started with the father and the 70 converted sorcerers. Powerful. Storms is not when we face our enemy. It's also when we meet our. If you are struggling right now in your life and you think the Christian life doesn't make sense or your prayers don't seem to get answered, this sermon is for you. The disciples struggled. They know how to get there, but they couldn't get there. You know, it's more frustrating. If you know you are lost on the road, right? You need to backtrack. But sometimes, have you ever got lost in spite having a GPS? Have or not? Happened to me. And I rebuilt the GPS a few times. Oh, in Jesus' name, what's wrong with you, GPS? Bring me to places I didn't program in. And sometimes, happened to me, sometimes I visit some church member, I know where they stay, but like, the next time I go, I got lost. So you know where you're supposed to go, but you're not getting there. Hey, but you know something? When you let Jesus get into your boat, another miracle has happened. John, add in one line for us. Then they willingly receive him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land where they are going. This is a very hardly taught miracle. But it's a miracle. When you let Jesus get into your boat right now, not only you can get to go where you're supposed to be going, you can get there miraculously. As if no time was lost. Nothing was wasted. They willingly receive him into the boat. Don't be like those. Don't trouble the master. Die already. Don't trouble the master. But Lord, I can't solve this struggle I have right now. I can't solve this conflict I have right now. I can't solve what I'm going through right now, but I willingly receive you into this boat. Because you can transform me from here to where you want me to be. In your most powerful name.